All right, welcome to our monthly April 2020 ERC Open Coaching Call. And this is a call where everybody's invited and we can catch up and ask questions and get support and share successes and share challenges and whatever, however I can support you in whatever way possible I'm here for. So I know that Paula had sent in some stuff in advance. Oh, two RSVPs. So somebody else did in the meantime. Let's see.
It was me.
It was you. Ah, there you go. Okay, good. Let me move this over so I could see it without blocking you guys off. All right. I can't get my little, there it is. Ah, if I move it too far, it takes up the whole screen. If I just move it a little bit, there we go. All right. So Paula, celebrations, time in Zoom with family and friends, started on a new organizational product. What kind of organizational product? Project.
Oh, just working on some of my organizing at home.
Like cabinets and that sort of stuff?
Well, like the piles on my desk.
You want to come and do mine when you're finished?
No. Yeah,
those are the kind of things that just, they feel really good when they're over.
Yep.
And making creamy nut cheese sauce as Alfredo sauce. Yay.
Yeah.
Good. Questions I like to address each in to call precision about the, no. Remind me, I took notes and now I don't remember viewing collections.
It was about the difference in B12 and MMA between the Dutch.
Oh, between the two tests.
And the oat, yeah.
No, I have not. I haven't had a minute. How can I do this? I'm going to take this and I'm going to put it on my calendar as an appointment for me to do that. And I won't be able to do, I don't think I'll be able to do it tomorrow. The problem has been that during working hours, maybe Angelica could do it. The problem is during working hours that when I could call them, I'm working. I'm on calls nonstop. And then when it comes to the weekend, I go, okay, let me catch up. I can't call them.
Right. So
I'm going to put this in the chat for, I'm going to put it in your chat, Angelica, and maybe we can talk about what the best way to get these answers are, because it's impossible for me. And especially if I get a answering machine and then they try to call me back when I'm on calls.
Right.
So I'll put that here and I'll explain to you what we mean. There was a discrepancy between the response within 3 days, right?
Yeah. The two tests were very close.
Very close. The oat test and the Dutch.
And the Dutch showed normal.
Mm-hmm. And the oat showed that the MMA was elevated.
Right, that it's likely low.
Yeah, which
it's
means
elevated, but it means you might make
right
efficient.
Yeah, whenever MMA is high, it means there's not enough B12 to push it through the pathway all the way, so the MMA builds up. And MMA is neurotoxic. So it's an important one to make sure that it's under control, but it disturbed me that you had two within the same couple of days.
Yeah.
It should have been similar, Okay. Yeah. If we could get that, that would be great. I was going to share, I didn't finish it. So I thought I'd bring it up here anyway. I made a dinner and I was going to make a salad. Like, I'm so starving. I need some food. But then if I just eat a salad, it's going to take me forever and I won't get full. So I took out one of these crusts that I'd made. It's a flax chia, has red in it, so it must have red bell pepper in it. Crust that I made at one of the Healing Kitchens, and I made my salad on top of it. And I thought, well, a great way to do it because it gave me a little fill and it made me feel like I wasn't just sitting there and eating a salad again. So it's basically that, and I just put arugula and I put some sauerkraut that Scott made, homemade sauerkraut, some dried kale that Scott made as well, and then sprouts that I made. And some chopped up watermelon radish. And that was it. And olives. And, it's fun. It looks kind of attractive, no?
Well, it looks delicious to me.
Yeah. And so it's just easier. And then I could pick it up and eat it, right? And I don't have to. And so I just sat outside for 10 minutes and ate as much as I could and then came back in. So it's easy stuff. And that's why I love making stuff in the dehydrator. like I made a whole bunch of them at that class and I just stuck them in big Ziploc bags and I stuck them in the freezer. So when I remember, I forgot I had them, but I was looking for something else. I'm like, oh, I forgot I had these. So I can just pull one out and it didn't take long to defrost. It just, you know, sit it on a plate and defrost pretty quickly. And then you just pile your salad on it. So when you're tired of just eating salad, there you go. So.
And the wrap doesn't get soggy from being in the freezer.
No, it's still very crisp. I wish it was a little soggier.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it got no soggy at all. It's extremely, like, you'll hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell. Picking it up and putting it back on the plate.
Yeah. And it's very crispy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It tastes good. I was thinking about that. I wished it was a little soggier, you know, a little more pliable like a wrap. Right. But at one point I was eating the other half of it and I was able to crack it in half and then just have it like a sandwich. So just, you know, so it's kind of a fun way to eat. And, you know, it was delicious. Oh, and I made a tahini hemp seed dressing. So I'll give you the recipe for that. Cause it's really yummy. It was just like a couple of tablespoons of tahini with a couple of tablespoons of hemp seeds. And then the juice of a lemon, a Meyer lemon. My son gave me these amazing Meyer lemons as a birthday present. And then ginger, piece of ginger, a piece of turmeric, and some salt. And that was it.
Mm, yummy.
Very simple, very delicious, very creamy. And I'll have some left over for my next salad. So it's just like, it's fun to be creative in quick ways, you know, like to know that I only had a little bit of time. I finished my last meeting at 5:20 and had this one at 6 o'clock, went downstairs. I made this whole thing. I sat outside and ate it and came back up for this meeting. So the eating takes longer than the making, quite frankly, most of the time, right? Like chomp, 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 chomp. That's why a lot of times I throw it in the blender, but then I don't get the satisfaction of the chewing part, right? So anyway, that was what I did. I thought I would share it. All right. Anything else, Paula?
No, other than that I've kind of relapsed with my respiratory thing. Yeah, I'm coughing a lot again. So.
Have you done a mustard pack on your chest?
No.
Can you do a mustard? Do you know how to do a mustard pack on your chest?
Well, I'm sure I could find the instructions, you know, but.
It just loosens everything up and lets it go. NAC, I know you're already taking.
I doubled that up.
Doubled that up because it thins out the mucus. Yeah. And then, of course, back up on the A, C, and D.
Yes. Yeah, we did that too. But see, I don't have any mucus coming down. Whatever's going on is in my chest. It's in my lungs. I have not had anything, you know, where you're swallowing stuff. No.
Two things. Slippery elm. Even though it's not in your throat, slippery elm, for some reason, I have never been able to really understand, but all the herbals talk about how that the chemical, that gooiness in it stimulates other areas to relax and, you know, break up stuff. So I would try some slippery elm tea, maybe with a little bit of oregano, oil of oregano or something in it, just for a little extra immune support. And then the other thing I was going to say, definitely that mustard pack helps to break that up, and even just like castor oil over the pack. So a pack of castor oil pack over your chest could be helpful as well. Mm. And then herb wise, you know, you want to go careful with it, but lobelia is very good for breaking stuff up in the lungs. Mm. Lobelia. And I don't know if you have a nebulizer, but a nebulizer, I think everybody should just get a nebulizer and have it around just in case you need it. And if you don't ever need it, great. It was $50 worth of insurance. Health insurance costs a heck of a lot more than that. But it's just something to have around in those times because it gets fluid right down. Do you have a humidifier?
No, the humidity in our house is pretty high as it is. It's 50%. Don't like to get it any higher. Yeah. Actually.
Well, the other thing is, you know, eucalyptus in a big pot. So you just boil up a pot with the eucalyptus and then you have your head and you breathe it in. That's a nebulizer is better because it gets it way down into the lungs to break some of that stuff up. And then with nebula, you can even put an NAC in your nebulizer and that'll get it down into But, bummer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I would highly recommend the mustard pack.
Okay, I will take that under advisement.
Okay, because it breaks it up. It breaks up that mucus that's, it's against the chest wall and it can be thick and gooey. And that's where the NAC is good at thinning out the mucus so you can expel it.
Yeah, I wish that was happening.
Are you feeling like a rattling in your chest?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, so just, what are you feeling then? Just coughing?
I just cough and it's just tight, you know, there's just no production to it at all.
No production. Yeah, because right. There's probably stuff there that's causing you to try to expel it, but it's thick and slimy and sticking against you. So between the slippery elm, try the slippery elm. That's an easy one. I know you're trying to do the SIBO stuff, and slippery elm isn't often recommended. But sometimes, right. You know, you have to weigh things out and see.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, bummer. Any fever?
No.
Just lungs.
No, it's just the cough again.
Yeah. And it's a dry cough.
Right.
Mm. If I think of anything else, I'll pop in with it.
All right.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
All right. So Sandra, celebrations. You received your PPP loan. I'm jealous. Staff is working 4 days a week. What a huge relief.
We're very lucky. Extremely.
You're very lucky. We've tried and we keep getting bumped out. We can't even get our application in. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Okay, so Candida Clostridia diet questions. Okay, so what are your questions?
Okay, so I started this Candida protocol. Mm-hmm. Isabel did a oat workshop over the weekend, and the guy suggested that I get rid of the Clostridia first. And then I had my small group with Steph, and Steph's opinion is that the oat test actually doesn't tell you exactly which Clostridium is. So it gives you the idea. The one that I have is the one that that affects dopamine,
mm-hmm.
apparently. So, and Steph suggested maybe doing phages. So there's a place, there's a website in Europe. It looked too complicated. I couldn't find the the right bug or whatever to use.
Do they ship them at all? I mean, it seems like it'd take a long time if it's from Europe.
Yeah, well, they were really expensive.
Really expensive. You know, Donna Gates had phages. She spoke at Shine a couple of years ago, and she talked about the phages that they carry. You might want to look there. So what was the recommendation, biocycline or something like that for the Clostridia?
To keep on doing the biocycline. Steph's opinion is the biocycline is very potent, so it can kill more things than what I might want. So the idea is that I'll do it 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
No, every 3 days, sorry. Every three days. Three drops, 3 times a day.
Okay. And then every 3 days, yep.
And Isabel also suggested doing grapefruit seed extract.
Was that one of the ones that showed on the stool test? That was sensitivity? Let me pull up your stool test. Because you had one recently, right? You had a stool test.
No, it was last year.
Okay. So working on that. I'm just going to look to see what was in it. Because I know you had some bugs in there.
Sorry, I don't know.
Is it in with newest tests or is it BioHealth, Dutch Biome, Direct Labs? So which lab did you do for the stool test last year?
Doctor's Data.
Okay. Doctor's Data.
But that's what I had before. I might have something different right now.
Right. But at least give me a general idea of what your body, if there's anything in your body that you were resistant to. BioHealth Dutch, Viome, Direct Labs, Ulta Labs, Your Labs, Walk-In Labs. Checkmybody.pdf to mold results. Let's see. Direct Labs, Viome, Dutch Complete, newest test. Optimal DX. Where the heck is it? Dr. Stata, wow. We need to reorder. This one was from 2017.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's a lot older.
So it's a long time ago, yeah. Just going to see what, if anything, it said. No, it didn't have anything. Yeah. Okay, so the yeast is showing up on your organic acid test. And yeah. So is the Clostridia.
Yes.
There is a particular probiotic. You're taking your 4-strain bifido, right?
5-strain bifido. And now I'm taking Syntol.
Okay.
That has a bunch of probiotics there that to treat candida. And I'm also taking SF-722 or whatever.
Okay, so that's definitely a very strong anti-yeast.
Yeah, I'm just taking one a day of each because I started having, my eyelids started getting swollen.
Yeah, you gotta go slowly because you tend to react to once you're breaking down those cell walls and the endotoxins.
Yeah. So Steph suggested adding molybdenum to compress the diet of symptoms. So if instead of taking the supplement, if I eat sea vegetables, more sea vegetables, how much it's?
You know, I think you can get really good amounts of iodine and the other trace minerals from sea vegetables at between 1 and 2 ounces a week. Right.
Okay.
So that's not a lot and it doesn't have to be every day, you know?
Okay.
There's this one particular probiotic and I can never remember the name of it. That's supposed to be the best for Clostridia. And
Rhamnosus?
It might be Rhamnosus. And it was a particular brand that...
because the Syntol has it.
Okay. It's this particular one. Okay, here we go. Saccharomyces, Rhamnosus and Saccharomyces boulardii.
Yeah, it has both.
Has both, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And how long have you been taking all of that?
Oh, since last week. Since
okay. I mean, that sounds like a good approach to me. I mean, it sounds like I would just go easy on the biocidin because it's so many ingredients in it and it's so potent that it can really create a very strong detox reaction for you and trigger.
Well, the biocidin, I've been taking it for a while, I was never able to use a lot because I felt that my eyelids started to.
Yeah. So have you always been on the one drop, three drops three times a day?
Well, now I've been doing, now I'm out. I order some more, every 3 days.
Every 3 days, you're going to do three drops three times.
Yeah.
Is that correct? And has that been on it for a long, what's that?
I remember.
When you remember.
Because I might, I remember in the morning and then I might forget in,
Can
later.
You set an alarm on your phone?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, a lot of people are having good, I think Lou was on earlier. She said she sets the alarm on her Fitbit and it reminds her to check her blood sugar. Right? So if you just have it and it's just like, okay, now is the time I'm going to take it and you hear the beep, you go, oh, okay, let me take it.
Oh, the other thing is my blood sugar is running kind of high all day.
All day? Yeah, first thing in the morning and or?
High. It seems to be in the 90s, high 90s.
And then all day?
Most of the time, yeah.
That's not bad. What the heck are you looking for? 60s all the time? Come on. Yeah.
70s, you know. When I was doing better, it seemed that I could, you know, before eating, I would be at 70 something.
Yeah. Maybe. So, you know, stress brings it up.
Yeah.
Right. Have you been doing anything differently with your diet? Are you eating more at night?
The good thing is, I might be eating more, but I just stopped the sweet stuff.
You're going to do the metabolic reset starting tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm on it. You know, I'm doing this candida thing. So sugar is bad for the bugs. It's good for the bugs. It's bad for me.
It's good for the bugs. Yeah. So I would say, let's just see, and really start getting into doing the heart math more, doing your breathing. Now that you got your PPP loan, you can breathe a little bit of relief at work, right? So yeah. I think that you know, really just doing the program full out, not worrying about if you're doing it full out, because if you mess up, you mess up, big deal, right?
Yeah.
Right. So just keeping the stress levels down, sticking with it. I think that protocol sounds reasonable. I think if you have the rhamnosus and the saccharomyces, those are going to be helpful for the clostridia.
Yeah. So the other question I have is, you know, you're supposed to rotate things every 5 days for these bugs not to get accustomed to
it. Yeah, about 5 days, 4 or 5 days.
So is how many of these things you have to rotate? What are the things I can have every day and what things I have to rotate?
Yeah, so the really powerful ones, like I think it's a good idea to do the biocidin on a rotating, 3 days is fine, 3 days, 4 days, something like that. I usually will just pick one. Like if we have a stool test, right, I'll know these are the ones that are killing and these are the ones we stay away from. The one that I see a lot of, and there's some berberine in this biocidin, is berberine, you know, of all the ones that I see people resistant to, it's berberine and oregano, the most common ones, you know? So you just want to be careful about not taking that too much. So if you're going to be doing multiple things, like the probiotics you're just taking all the time, because that's refeeding. With the biocidin, if you do it every 4 days, then you could do the grapefruit seed extract. There's a number of other things that you could do.
Essentially. Well, the other thing I've been drinking is Powdarco tea.
Powdarco tea, right? Yeah. So I think the stuff that I'm okay with people taking every day is something like the caprylic acid, like MCT oil, a little bit of that. That's not a bad
idea. I've been eating coconut butter.
Or the coconut. It's in the coconut. It's not as the caprylic is only about 10% of the coconut itself. Whereas if you get the MCT and it's a mixed MCT, the caprylic is maybe 50%. And then if you get the C8 ones, like Bulletproof, and there's a few others that are just that caprylic, then it's 100% of it. So the thing is, it's more gentle than berberine, for example. Berberine is like, bam, you know, knock them dead. Whereas the caprylic is just more of a gentle. So I think you can get away with that one pretty much every day. The grapefruit seed extracts are really strong. So I would say, you know, and I've seen resistance to that one. So I would say maybe that one you do, if you want to do a 3 day rotation, that's fine too, right? So you do the biocidin once, and then you do the grapefruit seed extracts, and then you do the Powdarco, and then you switch back again.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know how oregano is, because we haven't tested it to see, but do you do oregano very much?
I will eat oregano or the oregano essential oil.
Either.
Well, I do have oregano essential oil. I haven't used it, but I can. And I can eat more oregano, and supposedly thyme and rosemary too.
Yeah. So you just, but the eating part, you know, it's hard to overdo it with eating it.
Yes.
Right. Essential oil you can by just taking it frequently, but you might want to do oregano on one of those days too.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. And keep up the probiotics.
Thank you.
And set your alarm so you actually do take it.
All right.
More frequently is better. Same, you know, with anything. That's except fat solubles, you can take once a week. But
And I'm gonna start making my own liposomal curcumin and liposomal glutathione.
Nice. So, did you get one of those ultrasound
stuff and the liposomal vitamin C?
Good.
So how it goes.
Good luck with that. I mean, the thing about it, I wish it was something you can make a lot of and then save, but you're supposed to make it and redo it every 4 or 5 days. So
yeah,
that's what keeps me from doing it.
If it saves money right now, you know.
Oh, so yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because the C, the liposomal C is so expensive.
Yeah.
And the powdered C is pretty inexpensive. So yeah. Good.
Well, thank you very much.
And you got the lecithin. You're going to do it with sunflower lecithin?
Yes.
Good. And that way you can control it better too, because some of them use soy lecithin in their liposomals. It's better. I think the sunflower is a safer product. Good. Yeah. Good job. Who else is here? Who else has questions or comments? I see Susan and Simone and... Pat Murphy and Lou and Judy, Jenny, Anya. Who else? No questions, no comments? You know, let me off early and go to bed early? Nothing else? You guys are good?
This is Judy. I would say you probably have a thing about not going to bed early. I noticed you're responding to one of my Facebook comments, something crazy, like 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 or 3 in the morning or something.
Yeah, that's kind of common. Unfortunately, not all the time. I mean, I really do make a point to try to get more sleep. And then I get into these modes where I have a lot of work to do and I have to, you know, I have these calls like hour after hour and there's no time during the day. So then I have to write emails or I have 2 videos I have to do tonight before I go to bed.
So, oh gosh.
For sweet spot. I know what I'm going to say, but I just have to do them. Yeah.
No, I just come to these calls, even when I don't have questions, it's all about learning.
It's about learning and inspiration too.
Yes. And I still need that.
We all need inspiration, right?
You know,
you can't do it alone. Most people can't do it alone. It's community and it's really important to have that and have that place to go for support. And how are you doing? Are you going to do the metabolic reset starting tomorrow?
I think I'm a little bit behind. I need to go through the modules beforehand and make sure I've absorbed everything there. So I don't know if I'll start tomorrow, but yes, I do plan to.
Good. Make sure you hit that button and start those messages. I mean, if you don't want to get my daily messages, people have called them the love notes. So we do these little love notes every day and it's just 2-minute little the audios just keep you inspired. And that's all they are for. Because cool. It's easy to get off track. And I want to just keep you inspired. Okay, good.
Judy, you look really well.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks. I was sitting here going, oh gosh, my hair's a mess. It's getting awfully shaggy.
I was talking about that at the beginning.
Face. You look well.
Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah. I noticed that too. Yeah.
All right.
We all have that. Go ahead, Anya. Hi.
Oh, sorry. Hello. I wanted to ask about, at lunchtime, and I've had this before, but I had just some broccoli and cauliflower and some pesto, and mm-hmm. my blood sugar went way up high. And really? Why?
It was cooked cauliflower? Cooked?
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you had cooked cauliflower before?
Yes, I have.
And it hasn't shot your sugar up? No. Was it a larger quantity than normal?
No, it was about normal. And actually, last night, no, two nights ago, I just had some broccoli and some nut cheese. And again, my blood sugar went up and it's like, really?
How high did it go?
It went to like 127, 124, wow. Like that.
And did you test it repeatedly to see if it was just a fluke reading?
No, I didn't. But you know what? I just realizing now as I'm talking, I use the Freestyle Libre and I find that that's a lot higher usually. And so then I've tested some of the other times when it's really high and it's, you know, like 113 or something like that. So it's not that high for 108. But anyway, so
it was on the Libre that you saw it go up to 127. Yeah. But then you should have, like, did it go up and then quickly down or did it go up and stay?
No, I think it went up and quickly down.
Quickly down. I wouldn't worry about that. What I am concerned about is patterns of staying. Because I'll sometimes get that, I'm like, what the heck? And I test it a couple minutes later. And I think sometimes we catch it when it's on the way up and the insulin goes, whoops, let's get that down. And we catch it at that, you know, unique spot. So whenever it's higher than I would expect it to be, I do it right away again. Well, with this Libre, you get to see it. So if it's just a quick spike and then right back down, that I'm not going to be concerned about. But if it went up to 127 and it kind of hung out there for a while before coming down, then I want to investigate like what was really going on there.
So, and then that brings up another question then. So I wish I had my stuff right in front of me, but so I'll eat something and it will go to 94, 108, 103, 117, 108 again, you know, so it will go up and down and it's like, how do I tell what's the peak thing?
Yeah. So the peak is the highest it gets.
Yeah.
It will. I find that with my Libre too. It's just, there is really, cause you're getting to see it moment by moment, even if you don't test it every, you see what happened in between and you're like, that's weird. It kind of went, right? So I think it's just the natural self-correction mechanism is what I think is like, we're going up, we come down, we go. And as long as we're producing insulin to bring it back down and it goes in and then it goes, you know, it's kind of like leveling out until that between meals for me anyway, it's usually pretty stable. Once I've gotten to the 2 hour or something past that, then it just kind of hangs out. But there is a little loop-de-doop up and down.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one morning I tested it and it was like 113, let's say. And then I tested the Keto Mojo and it was like 87. And then I went back to test the Freestyle Libre and it was down to 97. I was like, whoa, within minutes. I mean, whoa.
Within minutes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've seen that happen too. I'm not really concerned about the individual readings more than the piece. So if it does peak and come immediately back down, I get a piece at 127 and then, you know, 5 minutes later, it's down to 102, 108, then that was just a fluctuation, right?
Another question is, then I'm
concerned then. Yeah.
So, but does like the broccoli and stuff today, maybe because I hadn't eaten enough for at lunchtime because I was still hungry. But would that make my blood sugar go up?
Well, if you haven't eaten enough and your body's looking for more fuel, it's going to go to the liver and start to break down some glycogen and turn it into sugar to fuel you. So you will see that. I see that if your blood sugar is too low and you go for an exercise, an intense exercise, I'll see my blood sugar climb right up and then it'll settle back down. Are you taking any of those supplements, the chromium, magnesium, or DHA?
I'm taking the DHA, but I'm not taking the others.
Not the others. I mean, you might try that. I found the chromium to be, I'll take that when I get back from a run. If it's gone up, I'll take it and it brings it right back down. It just helps the insulin get the sugar into the cells.
Oh, okay. So, and another question for you, I'm sorry, I was taking the EstAdapt and the ProAdapt, but I started having like hot flashes at night and I didn't sleep through the night and it was terrible. And it was like, oh, so I tested and I don't test for those. And it's like, oh, okay. So, you know, now that I'm not testing for those, I'm sleeping better. And so I'm having.
Were you taking estrogen in the morning and the progesterone at night?
Yes, I was. And then, so I had first started out backwards because I don't know, my brain got that one. But anyway, so but then I turned around, I got it around and went, okay, this is the right way. But then anyway, so
how long did it take before you started experiencing that?
It probably took a couple weeks.
Okay. So you were doing okay for a couple of weeks. And what dose were you on?
Just one drop.
Just one drop. So one drop in the morning of the one and one drop in the evening of the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as soon as you stopped it, it went back.
Yeah.
And originally I thought you had muscle tested for one of them.
Yes, just one. But that was just for a couple days. And then I muscle tested again and I tested for both of them. So I used both.
And then you took, so it may just mean that you don't need it quite as often. Like, and then, so I would just test it every day and see, and see if there's a pattern. There may even be a cyclical pattern, right? Mm-hmm. To when you need it and when you need one and versus the other.
Right.
So, you know, I would just use the muscle testing to see if it's, there are days that you do and days that you don't. And then days that you don't take it.
Right. Okay. And it's not a problem not to take it on a consistent basis.
I think we have to tune into what our body needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you don't, I mean, it may just be that you need it periodically.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't like to force things in just because on paper and in the textbook, it says we should take it in this certain way. I think when you have an ability to tune in and get an accurate, if you feel like you're getting accurate answers, and it sounds like your muscle testing tuned in to what you were actually experiencing. And it may be that you're going to do it on alternate days.
Mm.
So I just keep testing it and see if any one of them tests, and also test to see what's the best time of day to take it.
Okay.
Usually it's going to be, you don't want to take the estrogen at night as much because it, you know, it's not going to necessarily help, but the progesterone at night could help with sleep. But what, you know, it's really tuning into what your body needs at that particular point in time and then ask how many drops. Do I need more than one drop? Right. Who knows? Maybe you get to take it once a week for three drops, but until you figure that out. Yeah. So as long as you notice that when you stop taking it, you stopped having those hot flashes.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of the opposite effect that we would expect.
Yeah, I know.
Right? But each of our bodies is so unique that it's hard to predict.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was thinking that maybe I was going back cyclically through what I had already been through. And it's like, no, I don't want to do this.
No. Right. And that a lot of times, the recommendation is to just do the progesterone from days like 11 through the end of the cycle and estrogen from days 1 through 12.
Okay.
Right. And so kind of to mimic the natural production cycle. And so it's worth looking at various things. And the best way to do it then is just tune in with your testing and write it down. Like keep a little on the days. So that if there is a pattern, then you can guess what your pattern is and, you know, try to follow that. And it may make sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Who knows if it, you know, if it's been what, 10 years since you've had a cycle, is that how long it's been?
It's probably more than that.
More than that, you know, who knows what the body remembers and doesn't remember, you know, about that rhythm, but I think it's worth playing with that and seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Who else? Questions, comments?
Hi, it's Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
The camera, for some reason on the computer, some security system kicked in and it wouldn't let me turn it on. I'm not sure why. I had a similar question as Anya when it came to, I'm getting, like, I'm taking both the S Pro and, or what is it, Pro S?
And S Adapt and Pro Adapt.
Yeah. And have a lot of hot flashes, and I think, well, I know I've had a long time, ever since my son was born, I've had problems with always having night sweats, and then now during the day I've just noticed them. I know that tomorrow when we start the metabolic reset, and I'll be able to actually I'll note the times and the chronometer, so I can maybe start discovering a pattern, as you were saying.
Yeah.
But should it help those things? Like, what? what happens.
Yeah, it should actually. I mean, that's the whole point. Your Dutch test showed you low in estriol and low in progesterone. And so, and did you ease them in one at a time? You like do a week of one and then start the next one?
No, I did them both at the same time. I started with the estrogen in the morning and the progesterone at night. And I know that if I took more than 3 drops of the estrogen, I kind of felt nauseated. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of backed down on that. But for the progesterone, I'm already taking 5 drops just because it didn't seem to bother me. But could that be why I'm having the hot flashes too much?
Yeah, I think your best bet then, Jenny, is to back them both off.
Okay.
If those flashes go away.
Okay.
And if they do, then I would go back and just start with the progesterone.
Okay.
And then just do 1 drop.
Okay.
And do that for a few days and see if it comes back. You know, how long after you started those or got up to dose did you start to notice those symptoms?
Well, you know, I've had them. There will be periods of time and I can go for a month and not have any sort of hot flash during the day. But I'll consistently still have night sweats. And then I'll go through this period of time and I feel like, oh, is this what a hot flash is? Like I wasn't even sure. I just always associated them with night sweats, not daytime.
Mm.
And then I noticed that was happening, I don't know, maybe a year ago. But I can go for a month and not have like a daytime hot flash.
Mm.
But now it seems like they're occurring more often. But to be honest, I can't say that started with when I started taking the estrogen. Yeah.
I think your best bet is going to be to stop them both.
Okay.
And then just start, like you said, you're going to start with the metabolic reset tracking more carefully. Use your chronometer to mark hot flashes. And I think you can add biometrics in there.
Yeah.
And so mark in when you take, don't take them at all for now, but if you get them, see if you have a rating system, right? Like, you know, on a 0 to 10 scale, this is a, you know, it's a 3, it's a real mild, or this is a 10. It's like, you know, put the bands on and, you know, get me down. And then just keep track of it and we'll see if there's a pattern. And then if you add the EstAdapt and the ProAdapt, you want to see if it makes a difference. I would expect it to improve it.
Okay. All right. I will do that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Who else? Pat, Lou, how are you doing, Lou? Are you ready for your metabolic reset?
I have to unmute. Yes, I'm working on it. The only question I have, and I was trying to cook and look at the book, I had gotten my, Freestyle Libre was changing over from, you know, the 14 days to a new one. And I know it takes a day or two to acclimate. Yeah. And I went and found my Relyone and I had one little strip left. So I tested it and the two were not the same. So I went and got some more strips. And yesterday I had sushi with coconut aminos and wasabi, and it had salmon and some white rice and avocado and roe and ginger in it. And things sort of went up. So when I tested that, it one was 153, the other was 154. So they were testing the same. That's
exactly the same, yeah.
Yeah, they were testing the same. Well, a little bit after that, I decided to go on and eat some leftovers, which was basically tomato sauce with, I think I had zucchini, some mushrooms, some bell pepper, and some kelp noodles leftover from lunch. So I had that, and it continued to go up. So all of a sudden, I was at 155 on the sensor. But the Relyone was showing me at 194 and 196. And something else, then the other one went up to 168, and then the Relyone was 194 and 161 and 190. I mean, that's a big difference between.
Yeah, it is. But here's what's happening. There's about a 15-minute delay between them. So as you're doing something that's causing it to go up, you're going to have about a 15-minute delay with them. If you're in between meals, they're generally going to be almost the same. If you're fasting or the end of the day, generally the same. But when you started to go up, the Relion got there first, but the other one followed.
Well, I tested it like at 10:06, 10:21, 10:37, 10:54, 11:38, 11:53, and because by 11:53, well, 11:38, it had gotten down to 78 on the freestyle, and then it got down to 87 because my husband stressed me out before bed. So, saying.
Well, you had a pretty good recovery, but you just went, way too high.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I realized, that's the highest I've had on anything. So I think the, obviously I shouldn't. Yeah. Because it's the same thing I had for lunch. The highest I got at lunchtime was a 120, no 121.
Yeah, but you had this after you'd already gone up from the sushi, which had the white rice in it. And I had
right.
the white rice. Yeah.
So it,
yeah.
Because I had started to come down a little bit and then it went on up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the question was, in terms of which one is more reliable, the Relion or the sensor? And
they're going to be about 15 minutes apart when you're in a place where you're either rising or coming down.
So which one goes first?
The finger prick, the Relion.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But the sensor never got up to 194, 96, or 90. It stayed at 155. The highest it got was 168.
Mm-hmm.
So since I was testing consistently, like every 15 minutes for about 2 hours right there, shouldn't it have gone up?
Yeah. You know what? It doesn't really matter whether it went to 160 or 190. Neither one is desirable.
Well, I understand that, but it was a matter of trying to figure out if I'm double checking with the Relion, but it's testing way higher for some reason.
The Relion is generally, I found about 8 to 10 points higher than the freestyle, the, what's it called? The Keto Mojo.
Uh-huh.
And the Keto Mojo is usually pretty on track with the sensor.
Okay, so I did test it on Monday, which was the day that I actually installed the new sensor.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the same time period at, and I had a 182 on the sensor and I had a 165 on the Relion. But if I look 30 minutes later, the sensor is back down to 163. So what you're saying is, although the sensor was reading 182, the Relion was 30 minutes ahead of the sensor, yeah. And it was already coming back down.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah. So whatever those things were that shot you up that high, those are things.
No sushi.
No sushi. Well, you can do sushi with just the salmon and the nori, right?
I didn't know if it was the pickled ginger that shot it up or if the coconut aminos would have had too much sugar in it.
The coconut aminos generally don't, but I think if it's pickled ginger, that's not something you pickled yourself and made, they mm-hmm. really put sugar in it.
Okay, so that could have shot it up. I mean, mm-hmm. I knew the white rice might have a thing. And of course, I was going through and making a spreadsheet with the oxalates. And the white rice is so much lower in oxalates than the brown rice.
Neither one of them you should be eating on the reset.
Well, I understand that. But, mm-hmm. Just in general, we were trying to figure out what to eat in terms of later. Because normally you would say, don't eat white rice, eat the brown rice. But then if I'm trying to deal with the oxalates, and I don't have that in front of me, but they were both a measurement of one cup of rice, and it was at least half.
Yeah. So it's like we were talking about earlier, who was I talking to that said you have to weigh it out, right? You have to say, is it, it's low in oxalates, but like I said to Paula, it was, right? The slippery elm may help her be able to breathe better. Mm-hmm. Even though it might aggravate SIBO, right? So it's a matter of figuring that. I don't think white rice is a good food for us to be eating. It's just starch, right? It doesn't have all the B vitamins. It's putting a stress on the body to grab B vitamins in order to metabolize it. And it does have a higher glycemic effect than brown rice. So I would say, don't worry about rice right now. Keep the rice out of the picture right now. Go through the reset and add other things back. And then if you want to try rice, you can do a couple of experiments. You can try the brown rice. But I personally don't think, I mean, I would never eat white rice ever. I haven't eaten it in 35 years and I would never eat it ever, no matter how hungry I was. Because I just think of it as a fractured food.
So, well, you can't have potatoes and you can't have sweet potatoes. Those are high in oxalates too.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the cooking, because I know that with some of the veggies, if you boil them, like if you boil broccoli and then wash off the water, don't drink the water, that it lowers the oxalates substantially. And I wonder if the same would happen with potatoes or sweet potatoes, where you cook them, rinse them off real well, you boil them, and then stick them in the refrigerator to make resistant starch.
Well, does the same thing happen with rice? Because I know my husband says if you cook the rice and then you put it in the refrigerator overnight and you pull it out, it doesn't stick together.
Yeah, and it becomes, some of the starch becomes resistant starch. Although, I can't remember who it was last week who said, oh yeah, I tried it. It's still, even as resistant starch, the potatoes still shot my sugar up.
Okay.
So it's a matter of trying.
Well, in terms of the oxalates, as I'm looking at that chart that, as we said, went up to like 750 for spinach, what would be considered a reasonable amount of oxalates to eat if you were trying to keep the number down so much per day?
Do you have the chart in front of you? I'm curious as to what something like kale.
It's in the next room. Let me get it just a minute.
Yeah. Compared to like curly kale versus dinosaur kale, because there's a significant difference.
I think it's 50 milligrams of ox a day if you're trying to keep it low.
Total 50.
That's what they recommend in the Facebook group, the low oxalate Facebook group.
Oh, total.
I'm sorry, what did you say? Because I was out of the room.
Oh, a total of 50 a day is about what you're shooting for.
And with potatoes, the biggest part of the oxalate is in the skins of sweet potatoes and other potatoes. A lot of it is in the skin.
So if you peel them and peel them before you cook them, because otherwise the water that they're cooking in is going to have the oxalates will extract into the water and then it could get absorbed back in.
Okay. So what was I looking up? I can't remember now.
I wanted to know what dinosaur kale was compared to spinach.
It doesn't, it just has kale on this one. I mean, kale, it says kale, 1 cup chopped is 2 milligrams.
Okay.
Mg.
So that's very low.
Yeah, but it doesn't give a difference between the two.
Interesting, because everything I've looked at says that the curly kale is like twice as high. But even if it's only 2, that's only 4, so that's not bad.
It's very deceptive, like we said, because you look at the thing that says very high, and it's got something like rhubarb, which is half a cup is 541 milligrams.
Yeah.
Versus parsnips or red kidney beans, a half a cup is only 15 milligrams. And yet they're both listed as very high. So you could have a whole lot of red kidney beans before you got to the
I would go by the numbers of milligrams. And like Paula said, 50 sounds like a reasonable one that you could easily keep within without cutting out all your green vegetables. And remember, things like arugula have none. You know, and the kale is very low with 2. I think it's very low. I don't care if they say it's very high.
So if you wanted to put some red kidney beans, half a cup, it would only be 15 milligrams if you put it on top of a salad.
Yeah, if you did.
Or if you knew you weren't going to have much of anything else, you could put a whole cup and then it would be 30. So
you'd be adding it all up, right.
So,
but right now, be careful with kidney beans unless you've tested them.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a chart from the University of Chicago, and they show yams as having 40 milligrams per serving. So it's not as high as you think it is.
That's the same chart I've got. But if you look for the white potatoes, that's the one that's really, but once again, if it's 40 grams per serving, and how big is the serving?
Probably, I don't know, probably a cup, I imagine.
Oh, well, this one gives a measurement. Yams, half a cup is 40 milligrams.
Yeah, for me, I have to be very careful. I love yams, but I have to eat very, very small quantities. Mm-hmm. I also have an oxalate.
Boiling was most effective in reducing the soluble oxalate compared to steaming or baking for potatoes.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That the boiling.
The boiling, okay.
You'll lose between 30 and 87%, depending on which vegetable it is, for boiling, and only 5 to 19% for steaming.
So then I assumed you're going to throw the water out because otherwise the oxalates would be in the water.
Yeah.
So you don't want to put them in a soup.
No. If you're going to make a soup, what you probably want to do is cook the vegetables first by boiling them and then put them together in the water and put in seasonings and cook them again a little bit further. It doesn't say how long it takes, though. High in cocoa powder.
Yeah, chocolate has.
Sure, glad I'm not sensitive to capsules. Oh, here, cabbage, half a cup is only 1 milligram. Cauliflower, 16 milligrams. So cauliflower is kind of high.
Well, I'm looking at one right now that says cauliflower, half a cup cooked, is only 1 milligram. So where?
This isn't, I just found the chart. I was looking for the cooking on it. Let's see, cauliflower. Half a cup, yeah, 1 milligram. I was reading it wrong, sorry.
Okay. Please, we have to have something to eat.
Yeah.
Celery is high.
Celery, yeah. Stalk is 3 milligrams.
Celery is high.
But again, if you're targeting for 50 or under, it's really a matter of, I wonder if chronometer shows oxalates, does it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But if you're juicing celery, then you are getting.
That's right, juicing.
You're very, getting, very, very high.
You're getting, if one stalk is 3.
It says 1 cup cooked of celery is 10.
1 cup cooked. I wonder if it's boiled and then you throw away the water. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of different charts, but they're fairly close. Nothing's going to be exact.
The low oxalate group with Susan Owens has the most accurate charts. And they're the most reliable. And they say in there that a lot of the lists from other places are older and have not been updated with accurate information with more recent testing.
And where is this?
Lowoxalate.com, is that the one?
It's the Facebook group.
Oh.
Trying Low Oxalates Facebook group.
Okay.
Is it the low oxalate diet, lowoxalate.info? Is that the website or no? I just looked up Susan Owens and that's what came up.
I think she originally had a website and then went to Facebook as her main place.
Okay. And they have the charts where you can download them there?
They have separate spreadsheets that you have to ask permission to become a part of that group to access.
Mm-hmm. Who is she?
Susan Owens is a researcher.
Susan what?
Susan Owens.
Owens.
She's a researcher. She originally was researching autism and discovered that those with autism are often high in oxalates, have a lot of problems with that. So she got very interested in oxalates and she's considered the expert.
And what was the name of the Facebook group?
Trying Low Oxalates. It's TLO. Yeah, you can find it pretty easily if you just search on Facebook.
Okay. Probably easy enough. Facebook. And is there a lot of discussion in there? Do people get in and?
Yes, and they have extensive files. They like people to start with the information files where you get, you know, like oxalates 101 and get all of the basic information. So you're not just coming into the group asking basic questions. The moderators are very busy. So
It says that they have units too. And it right at the top, it says units are essential. I've already joined it. I guess I've been there for a while. I joined so many groups. Here, I'm going to put the link in here so if anybody wants to join it. And it looks like they have units, and they recommend that you read the units first because it's got information in it.
And you can do a search for all kinds of topics and what the discussions have been in terms of whether, you know, people have experienced a particular physical issue while doing, you know, higher oxalates and how that's improved while going low ox.
Great. Yeah. Awesome. Super. Is that it, Lou? Do you have anything else? Did you see the link I put in there?
No, I'm not on the chat part.
Click to the chat part and you can use that.
Okay. One. All right.
Yeah,
I will take a photograph. There we go.
Everybody wants dinner.
Yeah, I was trying to get it. Let me give it to
anybody else. Have questions, comments?
I put a note in the chat for you, Dr. Rita Marie.
What did you put in there?
The ecophage from Body Ecology, that's the one you were thinking of?
Oh yeah, let me look at that. She talked about it at Shine, not last year, the year before.
Yeah, I put the link there on the chat.
Yeah. She showed a lot of research that showed these were very effective. I don't have any experience with it. And is it, if it's similar to what you were trying to get from Europe, and way more expensive?
I have no idea what it was, what I was trying to get from Europe. I couldn't figure out what would be the right one.
Yeah, supports immune. It's a probiotic, a phage that acts like a cocktail. Anybody who suffers from SIBO or digestive disorders will benefit greatly from this product.
Yeah, I did on her site. I on the search, I put Clostridia and it appeared.
Yeah, I think this would be a good thing for you to take.
So this is also, it says it breaks the biofilm. Mm-hmm. But the other things also break the biofilm. Do they interact with each other or would be like just
growing? Synergistic. I mean, serrapeptidase, I wouldn't take something like that with a probiotic because it breaks it down. It could break it down. So I would take it separate. That's just my opinion. I would take this separate from the serrapeptidase.
I mean, in the same day, because I'm
taking... Oh, in the same day, yeah, but not at the same time. I would just space them by a few hours.
Yeah, technically, I'm having the serrapeptidase with food and the Synthol, I'm taking it without. That's what the bottle says.
Serrapeptidase with food?
That SF-722.
Oh, SF-722 would be with food. You could do that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but serrapeptidase, no.
No, serrapeptidase is with Synthol, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that you would do on an empty stomach.
Yes. Yeah. So adding this other thing.
When do you take your probiotics now?
Well, the Synthol is probiotics, and I'm also eating some yogurt that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I also add a little bit of mini scoop of the five strain bifido.
Right. I would say, it doesn't say when, but I do generally would recommend some, I'm looking at the label, something like this, maybe first thing in the morning or last thing at night. Let me see what's in it.
Yeah, I couldn't recognize what.
Yeah, I don't recognize them.
Chinese to me.
I mean, it can't hurt, I don't think. I think it sounds like it could be have good potential, especially with your gut stuff.
Mm. It seems that it might be something a little gentler than the other stuff.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Well, the way that any kind of probiotic works with an overgrowth is it crowds it out. It crowds it out versus biocide, and it goes wham, wham, wham.
Yeah.
You know, it's a killer. It's a potent killer. So, and you give less likelihood of having side effects from die-off reactions when you just do it in a gentle crowding out way versus the killer way. But if you're okay with the biocidin every 3 days and you're not getting the eyes and the crusty and any of those reactions, then you're okay. But I would space it so that if you're too often, you're...
Well, right now I'm getting accustomed to the new things that I added. The Dolan, the SF-722. So...
Then why don't you just stick with that for a little bit and see, just see, notice, really notice and tune into your belly. Notice the bloating, notice any kinds of symptoms and see if they're going down. Start writing those things down now. Because you know what? If you just say, oh yeah, I'll just remember, it ain't going to happen.
No, you don't.
It's not. Yeah. We're just human. We're just too busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
And I know tracking is a pain. But tracking is the only way we really know how are things really affecting me.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard. I got to skip back to it, but I started the other day. I grabbed my phone. I opened up my chronometer. You know, I just popped stuff in. The first few days takes a little bit if you've got some recipes you want to put in there. But once they're in there, you know, and if you have a supplement regime that you just take, you just say AM supplements, PM supplements, mealtime supplements, and it just pops it all in there.
I haven't had the bandwidth to deal with that right now.
Well, wait till the weekend to see if you have some extra time and just spend like a half an hour on it, because it really is I had that same reaction. My son was telling me before I did chronometer, he was telling me about how he does this fitday.com, and every meal he'd go, oh, I need to have a, you know, 20 more calories, or I need, you know, another 10 grams of carb, or whatever he was calculating. And I'm like, do you do that after every meal? Absolutely. I'm like, doesn't that take a lot of time? He goes, you just saw me do it. It takes like a couple minutes, right? So, you know, you just do it, right? And it is a little longer the first time because you're getting used to how to do it.
Yeah, I did it for a while, and then, you know, like, everything.
Well, you know, you'd be like Jenny, just take days off, right? I gave Jenny permission to take days off and then get back to it, right? Because you're not going to do it every day for the rest of your life. But if you're a fastidious person and you feel like, oh, I'm failing because I'm not doing this, right? So just know, do it 3 days on, do it 5 days on, do it to get a sense of enough, and then you can just spot check it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But if you want to track to see on certain symptoms or how you're feeling, if you're adjusting to a new supplement, it's a really good idea to write it down. Because like I said, you won't remember.
No, true.
You'll think maybe that this supplement caused this thing, and you'll forget that you had, you know, eaten some leftover food that had been sitting on the counter for 3 days, and, you know, you ended up throwing it away and got sick. But you know what I mean? It's like we don't remember all the little details unless we check. Track them and write them down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sounds like you have a plan. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's say goodnight then. I don't know what our next week looks like, but let me see. It's the last week of the month next week. Is that crazy? Let's see. So we don't have anything this. Oh, we have Vital this weekend. Vital. I'm going to do wraps. And then next week we have Sweet Spot, of course. And I'm going to pop on later in like probably between 6 and 7 tomorrow and just pop on Sweet Spot and make sure everybody's okay and answer questions. And Angelica did one yesterday, right? Did you answer any of the questions that were in that doc? Because I'll go.
To be honest, that was the plan. I was like, if there's any, silence, then I'll go ahead and look at that doc. But people were just pouring in questions. Yeah. So no, I didn't get to address them. But I think that there was probably a lot of overlap.
There's a lot of overlap. Yeah, there's a lot of overlap in the questions. So I may just put on my Zoom with nobody there and just say, here's the answers to these questions and then get it out. Then I don't have to find, it's hard to find a time to coordinate with everybody. And it's easier to just do that and pop it up on the website. And if you get yours up on the website, people can watch them who don't go to Facebook. And we'll have a permanent recording of those. That'll be great.
Yes.
Good. Awesome. Well, you guys have a good evening. Have a good weekend. Hopefully some of you will be on the call. I don't get to see you guys when you're on the kitchens because I'm doing the counter thing and everybody else is doing the computer. So I wish there was a way to do that. That would be cool. But that's the way it goes. So we'll see you. Have a great weekend. Have a great day. Evening. Good sleep. Hope your chest starts to feel better.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sound a little nasally.
Yeah, I'm hoarse.
You're hoarse, yeah. I don't know, I would try the slippery elm. How much oxalate is actually in slippery elm?
Oh, I don't know about oxalate.
Oh no, it's not oxalate, it's the FODMAP, yeah.
Yeah.
But you never know, like sometimes some FODMAPs are okay. It's like,
right.
Just because there's a FODMAP doesn't mean you'll react, so.
Yeah, the benefit may outweigh the risk.
Could.
Yeah. It's tough trying to figure out all the little nuances of food.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Humor.
Have a good one.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Stay well.
Thank you, everybody. Yes.